Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Halitsum, the Catesy, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tawasin, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to the Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Cornell.
All right, well, I recently, it's been a little bit now, but I recently went to Vancouver Island and I picked up some beers to do for a show, and finally we're sitting together. So We've got one from Whistlebuoy Brewing, one of the newer breweries in town, two from Ile Sauvage, and one from Harold Street Brew Works, which is tied in with Steel and Oak in New West. So
really? That was nails on a chalkboard. You're murdering me. When you called it Whistlebuoy.
Yeah.
Whistlebuoy.
Whistleboy.
Whistlebuoy.
It's whistle. No, Buoy's American. I'm going to Google this. I'm going to Google this.
I'm going to call it Whistleboy.
Boy.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to the beer.
But yeah, no, it was my very first time at Whistleboy, whatever you want to call it. My first time at Ile Sauvage and my first time at Harold Street. So I've had lots of Ile Sauvage beers now. But it was first time in house, so it was really nice to check out a couple new breweries on the island, which haven't been over there for quite a while until then. So we're going to start with Whistlebuoy.
Okay, so the internet says it's buoy for the States and boy, as in B-O-Y, boy.
Like crispy.
I don't know. I'm going with the British.
Yeah, buoy.
I hate the word buoy.
I don't really care myself.
Oh. We'll get them on the podcast one day, and they will tell us what the fuck's up.
So this is the, I think it's pronounced, the Gulagubin Scandinavian Ale.
The what?
Gulagubben.
Gulagubben?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a 4.2% alcohol, 25 IBU. So it's a Scandinavian Ale, right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah. So,
yeah. Kvik, yeah, exactly.
Let's do it.
He's gently pouring a beer as we speak.
Gotta love the voiceover. The play-by-play.
It's a pretty looking beer.
It is. It's really quite bright and clear. Nice thick white head. Just slight haze to it. So it looks like it probably hasn't been filtered.
So Scandinavian ale, did we get to the point where we talked about like what makes this a Scandinavian ale?
I believe it'd be the Kvik.
Kvikis,
yeah. Yeah, okay, that was my guess.
You can smell it on the nose, the Kvik.
Yeah, it's got that kind of fruity, funky nose that Kvik gives. It's mild, but it's nice, really
it's
nice
there.
Nose.
Yeah, it's a great nose, to be honest with
kinda
you.
Kind of grainy.
It's almost that, I find this flavor here and there, but that candied flavor, like almost like, cotton candy, as it sort of melts on your tongue.
Wow. Oh yeah, I can feel
really
that.
Tasty.
See, it definitely is on the slightly sweeter side, but it's balanced. It's grainy. It's a little bit fruity.
There's a lot of that hop bitterness there. It's got a little tiny bit of a tartness in it.
Oh yeah, I get the tartness.
It's nice. It's really quite flavorful.
Now, I was quite happy with all the beers that I had when I was at the brewery. Unfortunately, they only had some of them available in cans. This is one of the ones I picked up. And I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
So it's only 4.2%, and it says 25 IBU as well. And it's coming through like that.
And I mean, it's a tiny little brewery, but it is located on the end of a square, and they've got a nice large patio now out there. They serve food. I think they even had an oyster bar there.
Oh, yeah.
They have an outdoor bar set up so you don't have to go inside to get your beer.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's really well set up. It was really neat.
Wow. And this is nice. It's a little hop forward in the finish, and that I like it. It's quite easy.
Can's good, too. You can see like where it's from, who it's by, the name pretty easy.
Yeah.
Can art's pretty basic. It's just little orange polka dots with shadows kind of all in sync, but it is eye grabbing.
Yeah, I kind of dig the logo. It's like it's quite simple, but it's very unique, and you'll recognize it when you spot it.
Definitely.
Wow. That's really good.
Whereabouts are these guys? Are they right in Victoria too?
They're right in Victoria.
They're kind of like the bike ride where you can hit like Ile Sauvage, Spinnaker's. Like there's like they're all within a few minutes of one another.
Yeah, they're not far from the new bridge that used to be the Blue Bridge or whatever there, but it's right down in that area.
Nice. Well, it is quite easy to sip on.
Canoe Phillips and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I would call this a front yard like beer kind of thing in the sunshine.
Yeah, this isn't
fruity.
It's quite something you just pound back because it's got a little more flavor.
Yeah,
and,
it's
and
one
you
of those
want to kind of savor it.
Well, but that's what I mean. Like if you're out there like raking leaves or mowing the lawn, it's not like you're sitting there holding a beer. You're going back and forth to it, so you'd get a lot of. It's hard when we only
the beer raking the lawn.
I might have, man. Who knows with me?
This is super tasty.
I'm dyslexic and stupid.
It took me a while. I could be wrong. I could have heard that in my own ears, but not be right.
I did just smoke a J, so
they're only a couple blocks from Bastion Square, which is
a
big like that's popular right square downtown. Yeah. It's right by the bridge. It's close to Canoe Brew Pub.
Yep.
It's sort of right down in there. It's
cool.
A couple blocks from MEC Victoria. Like, you know, it's right downtown, and it's a great location.
Yeah.
And the square is awesome. If it was just the inside space, it would be tiny.
Yeah.
So they're really lucky they've got that outside patio.
Very good.
So hopefully they can keep it.
Well, I mean, most of the temporary patios have been told that they can become permanent patios if they apply.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I hope so. Otherwise, like, they're... Well, I'm sure there will be, but there would need to be a movement from like within the scene and everything else.
Well, it was kind of funny because when they first allowed the patios and stuff at the beginning of the pandemic, I knew it would be a tough genie to stuff back in the bottle, and they were going to have to, you know, reconsider it. I'd love it to see them now like saying that yes, you can apply to keep it permanent, which is brilliant.
Well, it just proves that it can be done. Like a lot of things, like public drinking, it sounds even like illegal to say in parks.
Yeah,
it can be done.
Of course, it can be done.
Got one right out here, about 10 steps away from my place, and it's like swear.
Always bragging.
I've ever seen is I saw like 3 loose cans, and I picked them up, and put them away.
And those are when you dropped the other night.
No, they weren't because they were like weird size. They were like growers' cans. The growers come to cans out.
It does, I think. Yeah,
it comes in anything cheap.
No longer 2 liter bottles. 2 liters.
So you don't have to be a straight alcoholic to buy them.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we are, for lack of a better term, liberalizing our liquor laws to a degree. It's come too slow, but I think it's shown every step of the way so far that like. People can be adults when they're treated like adults.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be a small, small percentage that try and take advantage of the bullshit and be assholes. And
well, those people are normally the ones that'll do it anyways. You know what I mean? They're the people that would still drink in the park and be a problem, even if it wasn't.
Yeah. For sure.
They'd be exactly. They'd be being jerks no matter what the rules are.
And that's always been illegal to be a jerk. You know, drunk in public it's never okay, right?
That's right.
That's why I don't go to the fireworks downtown anymore.
Yeah, no doubt.
Shit show.
Yeah, try bringing your kids down there for a fun evening.
You got to
put them on your shoulders and run after the first event. You can't even see the other two.
So where else did you visit in Victoria?
All right, well, the next beer that I brought is from Ile Sauvage, which is a really fun brewery. They do mostly sours. They do some like clean beers too, but they're really well known for their sours. So this one is actually their Laurel Fooder Aged Brett Saison, 6% alcohol.
Whoa.
Strong beer. Not really. But yeah, this is a really nice beer. I bought a 4-pack, and this is my last can by long shot.
Mike's buying Saison.
I love Saison. As soon as I see Brett and Fooder, like a Fooder, like I'm gonna grab Saison. Right. I'm not gonna grab many straight Saisons though.
Can I just ask Warren to save some for the rest of us?
Oh.
Mr. Saison.
Jeez.
Oh, fine. I'm excited. And I'm excited because this is one you've obviously been there and been able to try. And I'm not saying this to be like pedantic or to like, I don't know, give a hot take. But I've had a few of their beers, and unfortunately, I haven't been a big fan. And I'm saying that because I've heard so many good things about them. And so
it hasn't lived up to the hype, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard with sours, right? Because, like, if you're a production brewery, you can't really run a brewery. Well, it'd be very difficult to run a production brewery in a city where you're, like, barrel aging your sours all day. So yeah. I'm assuming that a lot of the sours that make it out here,
I think a lot of them are kettle sours.
Are kettle sours.
They are all kettle sours, basically. They just take a different fruit or something like that, like the Tropique, and they've got lots, but they do like mix it with like ginger sometimes, but it is prominently. Yeah. But when they do something like this,
a stout
or something, they're normally pretty good as well.
Yeah, and like this one was really good.
I'm still sniffing at it. I'm getting bread. I'm getting lacto. I'm getting.
I get a bread.
I like this
spiciness.
Yeah, it's definitely spicy and grainy.
I get bubblegum too.
Maybe even a little of that musty barnyard kind of thing. Wow.
But yeah, it's got a bit of a funk in there from that bread.
Just the lightness. It's a nice though bread. Wow. Like perfect amount.
Is that the bubblegum?
There's just so many things happening all at once.
A little bit fruity, a little bit bubblegum. It's got some grainy. It's got the funk.
You almost get that hint of vinegar at the very beginning, but then it doesn't go there. And then you get that dryness from the Brett. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I like this beer. After saying what I just said, I like this beer.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Too, because it's nice and dry.
Well, yeah. That's the thing about El Sauvage. You think of them as mainly sour, forwarded, but when they do something else, it's actually done quite well. Yeah. Like, I've had multiple different styles. Yeah. This is a fun beer.
Just a little bit funky, but not super sour. It's not sour at all. It's really easy to drink. And again, like, they're one of these breweries that's, like, shoehorned into a little warehouse. Their parking lot, they've got some picnic tables that you can go out and sit there. They got some big garage doors, so when you are sitting inside, there's lots of fresh air going in, and they had some big fans pushing air in just to keep the air moving because it was pretty warm when we were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was great. Everyone that was there was enjoying the beer, and I met my cousin and his wife I hadn't seen in years, and we all enjoyed the beers we had. It was great.
That's good. Are they big craft beer drinkers, or just kind of? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
I was going to be like, if you conformed them to El Sauvage,
they had never actually been there. They knew of it, but they hadn't been there yet. And he was really excited because he really liked their beers. And his where he works is right around the corner.
No way. Yeah.
Nice. This one's still close to downtown. It's just a little bit further north in Victoria. I took one of the water taxis to get there.
It's higher up, right?
Yeah, it's like, a little bit higher up. Yeah,
is Phillips close to it?
No, it's north of Phillips. It's
higher up, right? Yeah, so it's one of the furthest one up.
We took their little water taxis. It's just like the little water taxis near Granville Island.
Yeah,
and we hopped on right at our hotel, right downtown, and went up to the brewery there, and it was great.
Yeah, because those water taxis you can take everywhere, like Spinnaker's, depending where you are. I looked into it. I was trying to do a vacation before this wonderful COVID thing hit. Kibosh that. Two birthdays later, we're still here.
Yeah, so how, I mean, over here in Vancouver, we often hear like the Victoria scene's older. Maybe crotchety is the word I'm looking for. I don't know. Sorry, Victoria.
You mean the birthplace of craft beer? The birthplace of craft beer.
Well, it really is Horseshoe Bay, but
yeah, well, that's true
enough. That didn't last long.
Listen, they can have that, I guess. But as the tasting room scene really took a while to take off, so I mean, these are some of the newer breweries in like the last 5 years. What's is their tasting room scene, like their lounge scene, come along? Like
yes, the problem was that when a lot of the breweries originally started up, like Driftwood and Phillips and Hoyne and all these breweries,
Vancouver Island,
they really weren't a thing yet, not even on the mainland, right?
Yeah.
And then they were shoehorned into places that didn't have space for them.
Yeah.
Whereas Vancouver, you made space.
Yeah.
And then all the new places that were exploding all over the place put it in their business model and make sure they had that room. And it just took some time for Victoria to catch up to that tasting room scene because they'd been around for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. I haven't been there. Last time I was there was actually when I was working with Twin Sales. And yeah, I was thinking back. We were doing some like promotion. And I don't think we went to, like, I don't think we could go to any breweries. We went to, like, the, was it Cook Street Liquor Store that's really well known, and grabbed some stuff, and we visited a bunch of pubs.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
That was kind of the scene, yeah.
Yeah, I did get introduced to the Shaft, which is fucking amazing. And we're good. yeah, so that's cool to hear that it's coming along. It's a place I want to get back to. The island is so beautiful. And
well, there's been some places, I mean, in the past, the breweries were usually just that. They were breweries, right? They'd have the, like, I mean, even Driftwood had the tiniest, stupid little tasting room and that, right? So, thankfully, they've moved and they got a better one now. But Spinnaker's was about the only place where you could actually get a proper meal and stuff along
maybe
with
you. It's a classic brew pub.
And and there are a couple other places, Swans and this, that, and the other thing. But, I mean, it was only, a few years ago that the Drake opened, and now you're starting to see tap rooms who are embracing the craft beer and the food at the same time. And, I think the breweries have had to step it up to kind of...
It's gone a long way since, like, the last 3 years. Like, when I was looking for doing the vacation, it was mainly for me on my birthday to go over to check out the scene out there. Mm-hmm. And I looked just into bike rentals and how long it was to bike from brewery to brewery, and the water taxis. You could literally do, well, being wanting to try a bunch of beers, I planned 2 days because I was like, I'm not doing like 9 in one day on a bike. So I was like, I can do these ones right around here and then take a nice bike ride all the way out to like Ile Sauvage, which is a lot higher, and make my way back to the hotel and still hit another 4 if you just stay on one road. So it's getting better out there. And the brewery district is around like a lot of that touristy shit, right? So I think like Parliament's right there, the Victoria Museum's there.
The shopping and all that.
Like, you can go see all the paintings in the museum and whatnot, whatever's going on there, So it's you can make a little weekend out of it, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I was just looking it up quickly to an old blog post I did, because I remember when I went to the very first Victoria Beer Week, which was 2015, it looks like, I went to one of the events, and Matt Phillips from Phillips Brewing got up on stage and said how he was never going to open up a tasting room and this and that. And I haven't been actually yet, but they have a very nice looking tasting room now.
Sure, well, they're celebrating 20 years, no? It's like this week. Yeah. This week.
So, even the ones that were kind of pushing against it have had to change their plans and, move with the times.
Matt Phillips. I've never met the dude, but he says some interesting things.
I remember that. I think the first time I met Matt was when I went to his very first warehouse, where he had his very first brewery set up in Victoria. And it wasn't too far from Spinnaker's, actually. It was probably about an 8 to 12 block walk into the little industrial area where he was. And he was actually living in the warehouse unit where he was renting and making beer. And he was doing everything himself. He was a one-man show. He was making the beer. He was delivering it. He was the driver. Everything. Mm-hmm.
The one-man
band. And I actually visited the warehouse to buy a T-shirt from him. And he sold me the T-shirt at the warehouse because he was the only guy there.
Did he give you any beer? Did you guys drink a beer?
No. Really? No, he didn't have beer on tap. There was no tasting room or anything like that. And I don't even think he had beer to sell
on site,
in cans or anything like that either. I think, I had to probably go to the liquor store to get it.
It's crazy how far the scene's come. Generally in like this province and in this country. And it's kind of cool that there's still people like... Matt Phillips?
Yeah.
Matt Phillips.
Dude, he applied for a bunch of credit cards, and he ended up getting 4 or 5 of them or something. Mm-hmm. He maxed them all out, and that's how he started his brewery.
How many guys do you think also did that but didn't succeed?
Right?
The number's way higher than Matt.
And now he's pulling in what? They're over a million in sales a year.
Yeah, well, they're the largest craft brewery in Canada, aren't they?
In Canada?
I think they are.
Wow. I know they do a lot of
that sales. Might be right. I'm not going to
argue. And there are their own maltster now.
What about, like, too, right? Who's... Good question. Who's the biggest craft brewer? And I mean, craft is such a fucking... I mean,
independent. Well, no, like, independently owned still, like, because you could go, like, Stanley Park.
I thought it was Moosehead Brewing.
They're independent. They're not craft, right?
Right.
Aren't,
No, they're family owned, but they're not craft.
Yeah, Moosehead ain't craft. Can I get that one? Just a fly on your face. No,
you got it. Yeah. I don't know. Like, Phillips, is that it? Like, it's kind of shocking to see, like...
I could be wrong, but that's what I had heard.
I think they're big. I wouldn't... If you told me, like, if we looked it up and that was the case, I would not believe you.
Phillips is a big brewery. Don't get me wrong.
Distillery, a malting house.
Yes.
They're huge.
Yeah, they are pretty massive. But I would say, I don't know how they stack up against Red Racer. I'd have to look at the
numbers. They're bigger than Red Racer.
Yeah. I just drove by Red Racer, and it's not as big as you remember.
No, Red Racer and P49
yep.
battle for second place in BC, and it's a long shot from Phillips. Yeah.
Crazy.
But Red Racer is also, are they, I don't think they ever built out to capacity in that spot. Like, they built very big.
They're almost at capacity.
Oh, no, they're at capacity.
Most of the space
really?
Is filled now, yeah.
I'm always shocked because it's just like something I don't feel like I see being bought, but maybe I'm probably not their target market these days.
No, I don't think so.
Well, they're doing a lot of
because they're not marketing to cool people anymore, right?
They sell a lot more than just beer, right? So
yeah, that's true.
All right, let's get to this next beer then.
Well, I find some of those other ones. Yeah, let's get to the next beer. But like some of the bigger ones from the island that I just feel like I've had them all sometimes. Even they're producing new stuff. Yeah. I just look past it because it's like been around for so long. I'm looking for those
island
new breweries and. Me and my hype beers, like, obviously, but...
So that's not much different than anywhere, right? Like, you look at Bose, which is huge in Ontario, yep. and they came out west for a while, and I don't think really you see much of them anymore. A lot of the big breweries are kind of struggling to keep relevance because everyone's looking for the next cool thing, right?
Yeah,
right.
You only see Bose in BC, like, liquor stores, yeah. like, provincially owned.
And they make good beer, you know, nothing, like, they don't make any, like,
but it
hype
sits
beers,
on the shelf.
But that's the problem.
Well, they might. It just probably stays in Ontario.
Yeah, it stays in Ontario, because I follow them online, and they do
beer.
Do some.
Why are you buying Ontario beer? Right?
That's right, like, that's why...
Are we boring you, Carnot?
Yes, quite.
He needs another beer.
No, but yeah, I think that's why, like, distribution ends up failing a lot of breweries and why I have a lot of respect for, like, the Steel and Oak model where they're just trying to max out and become more efficient.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, I think when you start sending your stuff over, not overseas, but, like, over region or whatever you want to call it, you know, a lot of beer is sold on hype. And, like, if you're just selling your staples, like, I don't know. Look, here's a pale ale from Alberta or a pale ale from down the road. The pale ale from down the road is fresher.
Exactly.
And it's cheaper by a dollar.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with the pale ale from down the road.
You nailed it.
Some of the overseas stuff from BC is happening pretty huge right now. Like, I know I have a friend in Australia, and she just posted Superflux. And I was like, really? You got Superflux out there? And she's like, oh, yeah, and we got what's down the street that's also... Strathcona, she gets both those in Australia, and I was like, no way. And she's from BC, so it blew my mind.
That's crazy. Is that like gray market maybe? Someone's like
bringing them? No, it's the Superflux guys were importers.
Okay.
They used to be importers, and so I think they have some connections, and I think they had... You know, made some deals with some friends.
There's some importers in town that I know that are like, so a lot of BC craft beer goes to Japan and stuff as well. Like,
Packrim
Distributions does a lot out there.
Yeah, Mission Springs Brewing actually is a great example of a brewery who sends probably most of their production to East Asia. They actually own several pubs out there, and that's what keeps them going
because they know the market isn't out here from.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a burgeoning market.
Yeah. The next beer is a new brewery in Victoria, Harold Street Brew Works, which was founded by the owners of Steel and Oak Brewing in New West and the owners of the Drake Eatery in Victoria.
Oh, it's like a joint venture.
Yeah.
Interesting. So
this is super new though, right? Just in the past couple months.
I think they're a little older than that, but yeah, it's really, really new, yeah.
Nice.
So this is actually their Quatre Strong Saison, which is 8.01%. Not sure why the 0.01, but yeah.
There must be some kind of significance to the 801.
There could be, I'm not sure, yeah.
Or they're just precise as fuck.
So let's
kind of odd.
Pour a little of this one. I got this one more for a Warren, really. It's a saison. I know he loves the saisons.
I do. When they're done right, it can be the most magical thing.
Wait, this is two saisons in a row?
Yeah.
This one's a non-Brett saison.
Well, this one's similar color and everything.
Yeah, it's a little clearer than the other one, I feel
like. It's still very, very mildly cloudy. It's not filtered, I'm sure. Nice, fluffy white head.
Am I picking up some Brett in this one as well?
I don't think it was a Brett saison, but I can't remember, truthfully.
I mean,
no.
I don't. I think that's just like that. Well, to me, is like it's reminiscent of that like farmhousey, soft,
dry.
Yeah. Hay. It's always hay. Right,
I got a hay nose, but really dry on the nose too.
Oh wow, that's got some big flavor.
Wow,
it's like a
super, super bubblegummy sweet.
Malty, grainy. Yeah, bubblegummy for sure. Sweet, yes.
It's nice and grainy, though.
Too sweet for my taste.
I like it.
I like a nice dry saison.
It definitely hides the hell out of the 8.01.
Yeah, it's got some big flavor. No, it's got some big flavor. It's nice. And at 8.01?
Yeah, 8.01.
It's really difficult to tell. I mean, it tastes like a 5 or 6% beer. Right?
Okay, here's the thing, though. We often say that about beer, and I think the only time you really taste booze and beer is when you get a big stout or something.
I've even tasted alcohol in a 6% beer. Yeah. It's like, ooh, that's boozy.
If it's warm.
But
anything over 8 or 9, you're going to get a little bit of that alcohol, no matter what.
Right? But the alcohol is converted from the sugars, right? And So I find when you get this big flavor, that can also it doesn't taste of alcohol, but it does infer or suggest a high ABV.
Oh yeah.
And so I would say this one, I don't necessarily taste a burn or an alcohol burn.
Not at all.
Right. What I'm saying? Something
not
real
even
clever.
A warp.
Smart. But I will finish this quickly, but it is a high flavor beer, which leads me to believe it's a high alcohol beer, but I agree. Not necessarily high alcohol.
Well, when it says Quattro Strong Saison, you expect a lot more burny. But if they're just times in it by two, I guess.
Right.
it is a bit sweeter, but I do enjoy this one. Although it is a little bit too much for my style, a little too much on that bubblegum thing, which
really?
A lot of people love.
I like it.
I'm more of a Brett Saison.
Well, I like as I just took a sip, I noticed that bubblegum and I actually really enjoyed it. So,
I don't think it's overdone.
No, it's been we did take a quick break if you guys didn't notice the editing, but it's warmed up a bit and I'm getting a lot more of the bubblegum flavor coming through now, which is enjoyable to me.
I also tried a Russian Imperial Stout that they had. The cans didn't last till the episode, but
weird.
It was really good. Again, the funny part is it wasn't probably sweet enough for my taste in a Russian Imperial Stout.
Really,
but it was really well made. It was just a little dry, but they're making some good beers. I had a flight while I was there. My wife was back at the hotel going to sleep, so I went for a walk in the pitch black.
Looking
down
to
the brewery and just to go to Harold Street to try it out. I grabbed some beers to go and quite enjoyed it. It was a nice little place.
Well, just with this name again, I was mentioning it earlier, but the Quattro Strong means four to me, right?
Quattro would mean four, yeah.
Yeah, so it's for it being 8% with Saison, it's pretty good.
Well, it's funny. Say. Yeah, it's funny though because Saison's such a wide category.
And it's normally not a strong style, right? Well, you get it at the 4% and a little higher depending on how you brew it, right?
It's such a wide range. You could have a 4% table saison, but you could also have an 8% saison, and they're both perfectly acceptable for that style.
Yeah, that's crazy. How would you
it's
even pick the best
style.
One?
It's insane. It's very difficult.
Well, thank you, Harold Street. You're the first beer I've ever tried from you.
All right. Well,
I like their labeling, too. It's quite easy to see.
We're going to finish this episode off with another one from Il Sauvage.
Ooh la la.
And this is one of their few clean beers. This one has nothing wild about it, other than the name is kind of hilarious because it's making fun of a certain former president. The Covfefe, an imperial stout with coffee and coconut at 9.5% alcohol.
I love Covfefe.
And this is definitely
Covfefe. Yeah. I don't know.
This is definitely a responsible size can for 9.5. It's kind of small. 355.
It's a 12-ounce.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Why can't we have the freedom to choose our own can sizes?
Yeah. You're infringing on my freedom.
Yeah.
My Covfefe freedom.
Oh wow! Look at the color on that one. That's a dark.
Oh yeah, it is definitely an imperial stout.
Yeah, it is a dark beer. It's got a super dark, dark tan.
You're
head.
Not really seeing through it, even on a tiny little sample glass. It's black. Yeah. It's got a nice brown head.
Wow. Yeah, that's deep. Oh, I can smell the coffee.
Definitely got the coffee on there.
It's roasty coffee.
Roast, yeah.
Big roasty coffee.
Not a lot of sweetness in that nose at all.
No, you get a little bit of hops in the background.
It's like black coffee on the nose.
Oh, but it tastes so much different.
Yeah.
It's like a spiced coffee almost.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
There's chocolatey notes in there. It's definitely got the roast and the coffee.
Coconut.
Yeah, there's
coconut. There's definitely some like caramel sweetness in there.
Mm-hmm. It's probably they used Covfefe beans.
Yeah.
Covfefe beans.
Hashtag MAGA
2024. It's got a little bit of that earthy kind of yeasty thing going on. Wow. But it's not really that bitter or anything, right? It's not like...
It is bitter, sharp. But it's not like ongoing bitterness.
Yeah, it's not sharp bitter. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what to think about this, to be honest with you. I like it, but it's like, this is not normal to what I'm used to drinking.
Different. I like...
Sorry, if this is... Did you say MAGA 2024?
I said 2024.
Yeah, if this is that, I don't want that.
it was a Covfefe joke.
The Covfefe joke.
Yeah. Oh, I was confused.
No.
But also, I'm not sure about this beer. I don't know if I'm into it.
I personally like it.
I like it too, but it's something that's like not what I expected when I'm thinking of this style of beer.
Maybe that's it, but also at the same time, like when I have to take this long to think about a beer.
Also, I don't like for me. It is a little more roasty and coffee up front, and then as you take more sips of it, it gets sweeter in the background, and I kind of like how it builds the sweetness in behind.
But at 9.5%, I'm not getting any alcohol burn.
No, again,
you're absolutely right. There's no warmth to it at all. You'd have a very hard time guessing that was the percentage.
And for me, I'm not... Like, one of the problems with coffee beers in general is so often people get, like, green pepper.
Yeah.
And this, for me at least, I'm not getting any green pepper on this beer.
You know what it is? I actually quite like... I'm pretty sure about how I feel about this beer right now.
I'm getting a little bit of that sort of... The like not green coffee bean, but like the lighter roast coffee bean. You kind of get a little bit of that greenish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do, actually.
I quite like the base beer is what I'm realizing. And I do like that richness and almost that sweetness. It's the coffee that's killing it for me. I'm getting like a lot of, personally, like stale coffee.
Okay. It's Folgers, bro. Yeah.
But like that stale, very acidic.
Yeah?
I wonder what kind of coffee they used in it. Like if they... But it doesn't say it's not a collab
or anything.
Well, it's
interesting, because there's different ways you can use coffee and beer, too. Like you can do the cold...
Cold brew process,
and then add it that way, which would probably eliminate a lot of that bitterness and stuff.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Or the best way I've found is just to throw the beans in. Don't even grind them or anything. Whole beans, dump them into the beer and let them soak for a couple days.
I feel like this is whole beans. To me, like I've had multiple ones that it's like cold brew and like just like even crush, not even ground, but like... They break the beans up a bit. This, to me, is whole.
Like, see that? Yeah, in my homebrewing days, I did a couple coffee beers, and I remember reading the same thing. Like, if you want to stay away from that acidity, you cold brew and then you throw in coffee. And I don't know. I feel like that acidity is present. And I guess that's not like an off flavor or anything. It's just like a personal preference thing.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that's... But the base beer is, like, pretty good. It's just that... I'm getting that coffee that I'm not really interested in.
This is non-scientific, but I looked at their website, and they have another coffee stout, and it was Bows and Arrows coffee, so it might be Bows and Arrows. I don't know.
Okay.
Could be a local Donald Trump's Covfefe.
Here's the thing. I'm still drinking it. I'm going to finish this glass because I really do like the base beer.
Well, I've been actually holding it in both my hands trying to warm it up and swirl it, and it is changing a bit.
Yeah.
And not a ton, but like I'm getting more a prominent coffee flavor, yeah. And it's not like that greeniness almost.
You know what? I just took my last sip of my glass, and it was a lot more like toffee and kind of...
That toffee's coming
treacle
through.
Treacle kind of thing coming through as it warms up.
The coconut's coming out a bit more. That
too.
As it
warms the coconut too. And I'm getting a bit of the toffee, caramel toffee thing going on.
It's complex. There's a lot going on in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had another can of a different, not as strong Imperial Stout that, again, didn't make it this long.
Weird.
But it was quite nice too. It was a little different. It wasn't, I don't think it was a coffee stout. I could be wrong. But hey. We waited too long to do this episode, so things got pared down a little bit. This was originally going to be 6 beers.
Oh, my Lord.
So what happens when you leave Mike at home with beer.
Exactly.
Jordan's the guy to ask here. Do you like have enough fan engagement where we could be like, you pick the 4-pack we drink?
Oh, dude, if we did a little story right now, I guarantee people
would. We could figure something out. Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of a cool idea.
That would
it's
be
easy
fun.
Peasy.
And okay. I think
engagement on Facebook would be the way to go on that, though.
Yeah.
Could be.
I think that'd be fun. And, like,
that'd be fun.
You could troll the crap out of us.
Yeah.
Make us drink something.
Make us drink shit.
Ooh.
But we'd rather you got us to drink something fun.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Let's call this episode 199, and we'll do a fan pick episode.
Start planning for it.
Yeah. So if you guys are listening right now, hit us up on social media. So coming up in like 15 episodes. So you guys got time to think, time to try shit. What's your favorite beer? What do you want to punk us with? Whatever.
I want to get punked. I was saying, I love hate drinking beer. Like, I love picking something.
Okay.
I mean, it's making a list.
Let's just put it this way. We ain't doing any of the Granville Island or Stanley Park mainstream in the things. But if you want to go to their main brew, like the small batch brews, and get us something from there.
I think it'd be
hilarious. Not doing a Sunsetter.
But if they set us up with like a drink of Granville Honey Lager, I would pick that up. I would drink that.
Yeah, but
I'm sure I would not like it.
Would it be an exciting
episode though?
I think so.
If the people say it, we'll do it, I guess.
Yeah. And also vote how many drinks we have how trash you want us to get what hotel you're paying Patreon to get us in.
Hey, if you really want us to drink a bunch of shit, support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Or hit up our Threadless merch store, yo.
Yeah. Go to pacificbeerchat.com to click on the link.
If you happen to know any friends or family who have maybe a recent birth.
$1 million?
Maybe a recent birth in the family. You might want to buy them maybe.
We should put a $1 million hoodie on there. And we only need to sell one, right?
Like Supreme.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we wrap this shit up, let's do our fucking thing. So, Mike, thank you for bringing our beers.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
But what is your favorite of the night, my man? Hard, right?
It is hard, yeah. I think I'm going to go with...
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the Laurel, the Photo Rage Brett Saison from Il Sauvage. I really enjoyed the Whistle Buoy.
Boy!
Boy! I actually really enjoyed all of the beers. The Harold Street is a bit sweet for me, but they're all well-made beers for what they are, and I would have another can of any of them, really. But I think the Laurel is my favorite.
Good choice. Warren, what are you feeling, bro?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have a hard time here.
You can pick one and two.
Well, I enjoyed the Whistle Buoy. The Gulagaboon, or whatever you want to call it, was just fun to say.
Gulagoobin, I think. Yeah
the Scandinavian ale.
Yeah, that's just fun to say. And it was a damn good beer. It was really interesting and different, and I really enjoyed it. But if I was really torn to pick one, I think I'd lean towards the Laurel as well. It was just so interesting. Like, there was so much going on in there, and very well balanced.
Nice. Carnell, what are you feeling, buddy?
For me, it was like a clear winner. I liked the Whistle Buoy.
Yeah, you said it right.
Whistle Buoy.
But the one I really enjoyed was the Laurel. I love a Saison. Yeah. And I thought that one had a lot going on. Also, it was like the first time I've really picked up bubblegum and enjoy it in an enjoyable way. Like, I picked up bubblegum before, but that was really nice. So I love that one, and I'm not just hating on Il Sauvage because I think that was a great beer. And that's enough to make me want to visit that brewery in the future.
Awesome.
Wicked, man.
Sure.
Well, guys, fuck again. I'm agreeing with all three of you, and we've had a four match again. It's the one is the Laurel for me from Ale Sauvage.
Right.
Second for me was the Cafefe. Like, I really enjoyed that, especially as it warmed up. Yeah. Gerald Street, good job, fresh on the block, but yeah. I want to try some more stuff for them. I think Whistle Boy was a pretty good beer too, but
absolutely.
I just need to know more about them, and I want to try more Whistle Boy for sure. So Victoria, hit us up.
Well, by the time this episode airs, I'll have left Nanaimo, so might have some more island beers coming the way.
Ooh, good stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. If y'all out there are listening and you have any suggestions or you know anybody in Victoria area that we need to check out, let us know. Please send us a message.
Yeah, hit Jordan at pacificbeerchat.com or at pacificbeerchat.com. Send me an email and I'll try and get the best people on.
Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you want to find us on social media, at Pacific Beer Chat. If you want to go to our website, pacificbeerchat.com. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. The money goes towards upgrading the equipment and making the show better. So shout out to our Patreon supporters, Steve and the Indie Beer Show.
Thanks, guys.
And our Threadless store. Hit that up.
Yeah. Head to pacificbeerchat.com, click on the Threadless store link, and check out our merch.
Or hit up Instagram, and the link will be up on there.
Yes.
Cheers.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.